Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
And this evening we have my beautiful wife Brianna with us. Hello.
Hello, that's me.
And of course myself, Adam. And tonight we have Tracy Nelson with us. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. How are you going?
Going really well. Took you a while to get me to do this podcast, I know.
Well, as you say, all in God's perfect timing.
Yeah, a few hiccups, but we got there in the end, didn't we? That's awesome.
We're very excited.
Very excited to have you on.
So, Tracy, do you want to get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, most of you will know that I'm married to a wonderful, genuine Christian man named Glenn.
Shout out, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn, how's it going?
I have three children. These three children brought us along to Guymere Baptist Church when we moved to Guymere, then promptly disappeared to other churches and left us here.
That's ironic because normally it's the other way around, right?
Yes.
And are they going to other local churches at the moment?
Two of the three are. Yep. All three of them are Christians. Yes. Mm-hmm. My youngest one is an absolutely amazing, insightful, wise Christian man doing a lot of leadership in his church.
Amazing.
So that's wonderful.
Cool. Nice. Okay, so what is something people might not know about you, Tracy?
They may not know my job because I'm an orthoptist and no one's hardly ever heard of that.
Orthoptist, not an optometrist, not an orthopedic.
No.
Say that again.
Very similar to an optometrist.
Oh, okay.
It's an orthoptist and I work with eye specialists as their assistant.
Oh, there you go.
What kind of specialists? Like what do they specialize in?
Ophthalmologists, eye specialists.
Yes. Okay. So all things to do with very specific eye conditions.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. How long have you been doing that?
I have been doing that for 42 years.
Whoa, awesome. Good on you.
Yes.
And how did you like get into that? Is that just something you came across in your earlier years?
I was actually really good at all the humanities like English and history, but I decided I really wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And I looked at speech pathology, but having extremely poor hearing sort of ruled me out of that, and I stumbled across this and I've loved it ever since.
Oh, that's so cool.
Amazing. And in being in that industry, have you been able to work with lots of different specialists over the years?
I have. I was with one specialist for 20 years and he was a very firm Christian but a quieter man, and it actually gave me a lot of opportunity to witness. He basically allowed me time to talk to the patients about God.
Wow.
He didn't seem to mind how much I spoke to people and told them I was going to be praying for them, and was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, how good's that?
And how comforting for the patients too, because often they'd be coming in with quite what could be quite scary things, and for you to offer prayer and support for them, I'm sure would have been a great comfort.
They did. I was working out of Fairfield where English is often the second language, so they needed that compassion, that reassurance, and he used to book long visits with me when they were having surgery, etc., so that I could give that comfort and assurance. And and then I actually got headhunted to Miranda. So,
well, that's handy, closer to home.
Yeah, a little bit closer. A lot closer to home, being in Guymere.
Yes, a lot closer. I can walk to work, but it keeps raining on me.
It keeps raining on your parade. Is there a particular story or patient that sticks out for you from, you know, through your years? Is there one in particular that sort of has stood out or stayed with you?
There are a few. One I can think of was one who was confronting the fact that she'd never told her daughter that the daughter was adopted. And her husband had always said he would do so, but died while the children were still young. And now she's getting to later in life. And she was really, really confronted about the fact that her daughter may not accept her. And I actually had time talking to her, praying with her, telling her that just like God loves you, her daughter would love her because of the care and nurture she's given. Mm. And she told me I was the first person in the world she'd ever discussed that with. So I thought that was a real privilege.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is. That's beautiful. What an opportunity to share with someone that's going through such a hard thing. That's awesome. That's awesome. Is there a particular book, movie, or series that has influenced you in your faith journey?
One thing that really influenced me was probably Bill Hybels, Just a Walk Across the Room. It's a very old book, I know, but just that concept that I didn't need to have all the answers, the academic answers to why you should be a Christian. More I had to have the story of my own life and faith to relate to people, because if they knew me, they were going to listen to my story.
That's powerful, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Because often, you know, you think, oh, I'd love to share more, but I don't know, you know, I don't have all the big words or, the right Bible passages every time but that's encouraging because that's your real lived experience that you get to share, and it's probably more relatable for somebody because it's your lived experience, right?
Yes, I think the person it really came home to me with, and this is about 10 years ago when I was reading that book, is my father-in-law. He was a rather strict authoritarian sort of person who would go to church but didn't want to hear about sin. Didn't like to be preached about sin, definitely wasn't believing in God. And he came down with bone cancer. And I remember one day I finished work early and thought, I have just time to slip to the hospital. And I thought, I'm going to lay it on the line. And I remember walking in and saying something like, this is why I believe. And he really listened. And then a few weeks later, it was near end of life and we were getting ready to go to night church. And I said to Glenn, we're not going to church. We're going to go see your dad. And that night, just 2 days before he died, he actually once again really listened and then prayed and prayed in a powerful, meaningful way. So I know that I'm going to see him in heaven.
Oh, isn't that awesome?
Sometimes
it's so beautiful.
It is. And sometimes you've just got to be bold, right?
Yeah. And listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling you too. Because like you could have easily just gone to church, but you felt compelled to go and see him that night.
Yes, well, Glenn came with me, so it was
of course. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Together.
Yeah, that's so good.
And what a special moment to share, especially, you know, for Glenn with his dad in those last few days and getting to be there to you know, while he was praying. I'm sure you guys probably prayed. We're right there with him praying and supporting him in that. As he was preparing in those last few days.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, amazing. So you mentioned, you know, that you've shared with people or about your walk as a Christian. How did you actually become a Christian?
Oh, Mark spoke about being headhunted. Boy, was I headhunted. I was not growing up in a Christian home. I was actually growing up in quite a dysfunctional home. And when I was four, my best friend I made, her mother was a Sunday school teacher and said, can I take her along, you know, can we take Tracy along to Sunday school? And off I went to Sunday school. But then we moved and that connection was broken and I made a new best friend. Her mother was a Sunday school teacher.
I see a pattern here, Tracy.
So I went to Sunday school until I was 12. Then I was one of those children that sort of probably drifted and you just saw at church occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I remember being raked into singing in the church choir. That's a big mistake. I do not have Brianna's voice.
Oh, that's kind.
And then when I was 15 and my sister was only 3, I decided that she had to go to Sunday school.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
At this point, I'm not actually a Christian. I just decided that my 3-year-old sister needed to be in Sunday school. So I took her along to Sunday school and she was very shy. So I sat in the class with her each week and the Sunday school teacher was getting married and moving on. So I became the Sunday school teacher. Keep in mind, at this point, I'm not actually committed to God. So that's a little bit scary when you think about that scenario.
Mm.
Anyway, here came my great evangelistic effort. I recruited all the kids in the street that were in preschool age to come along to Sunday school and greatly increased the size of my class. And I thought, isn't it wonderful? All these parents, I had between 5 and 7 toddlers behind me going to Sunday school. I thought, these parents want their children to learn about God. Years later, probably when I was a mother, I realized that every Sunday, this responsible teenager turned up and asked if they could have their children for a few hours. I even had another service I offered, which was to pick up their Sunday newspaper on the way in so that the neighbours didn't have to see them in their pyjamas.
Oh,
so that's kind.
I don't know how much those parents actually wanted their children in Sunday school, but I'm so sure the kids benefited. I am sure the kids benefited.
Mm. For sure, for sure.
Because I was teaching Sunday school, I felt I actually should start going along to church I went to Christian Endeavor, and there I was challenged to read the Bible.
Mm.
But being very academic, I thought I had to figure it out for myself.
Mm.
And so I'd question God. And then one day when I was about 16, I was reading about the blind man in John 9. And I read John 9:35 about being spiritually blind. And I realized that I was blind because I was thinking I should have to figure all this Christianity out and decide if it was true or not, when actually God had all the answers. And that was really when I became a Christian.
Mm.
Yeah, that's when it shifted.
Yeah. Yes.
Amazing, amazing.
What a journey to get there. That's beautiful though, eh?
Yeah. And you know, from such a young age, getting to go to Sunday school, learning those important foundational stories from the Bible, you know, but then to then have it ignite as a teenager, that God just, you know, you sought and God revealed and just flicked that switch for you.
Yes, yes. Well, it was life-changing, particularly being in a very dysfunctional family. Now I had the comfort of God's love, grace and support.
Mm. Mm. Amazing. And then so what was different from that moment where, you know, your faith had been ignited? What did the next season look like for you?
Oh, then I decided because I was a good public speaker that I should become a minister. But God really poo-pooed that idea. I thought I did a few sermons or a couple of sermons in church and everything, even as a young one.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really learnt that God just wanted me to serve him. And what I really learnt about myself was that I wanted to be, I think of it as the salt of the earth. Now, salt's that very common, ordinary thing. It's not particularly exotic or colourful like turmeric. It's not expensive like saffron. And I just wanted to go out into the world and spread God's goodness wherever I went. Now, I fail at that at times.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't we all?
I definitely do. But I just realized it doesn't matter how ordinary you are. Mm. God is the one who's extraordinary and an ordinary person can still be a disciple of Christ and impact those around them.
Mm. Amen.
That's for sure. Amen. Talking about impacting people around you, do you currently serve here at GBC or in our local community?
I've just taken over the leadership of Catalyst earlier this year.
Oh, nice.
And for those listening in that don't know what Catalyst is, could you, what is Catalyst?
Yeah, what is Catalyst? Right.
It's about advocacy and about fair trade. So Roxanne put it well, choice and voice. So choosing when you buy products that are not made with slavery, products that are made sustainably, products where people are paid a fair wage. So you would have seen us with the Easter stall promoting various brands above others.
Yeah, you were walking around with chocolate. It was really good.
I was walking around with chocolate. That got a few people's attention.
Where's Tracy? Just look for the group with the chocolate.
But we did. We learned people about what chocolates to buy and not to buy that were the good ones. So
yeah.
Trying them too. Oh.
Cadbury's actually come around and is changing policy because of the backlash, not from our church, obviously, a broader backlash than that. And it has worked in the past with Nestle, for example, when they had some very, very poor practices.
So they're turning the page there. That's good.
Yes. And we're going to look more at advocacy. So in other words, basically what will be coming up is we'll be giving you links to email addresses where you can send in to politicians or companies. Baptist World Aid is actually working on that at the moment, so it's in the pipeline.
Amazing. So not just Gaimi Baptist Church, it's a broader support.
We'll be working mainly with Baptist World Aid and Be Slavery Free.
Okay, cool. Those two organisations. Awesome.
Yeah. And I think, is the fair trade markets part of that same sort of...
Yes, fair trade market is on the 26th of October this year.
Ah, fantastic. I've been to a couple of those in the past and they're amazing, like really interesting, beautiful handmade things and things that are sustainably sourced. I remember one year there was a lady selling beautiful jewellery from that had come from Africa, and the beads were actually made from garbage.
Yes, and glass and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it was just beautiful. And to think that the locals in Africa were, you know, using garbage to make these beautiful pieces of jewellery, and, you know, that it wasn't just garbage, that they could see past that and make these really beautiful things. Unreal.
Well, Barb Higgins started it up in the church, so a big shout out to Barb. Isn't she just amazing?
She's really wonderful.
Yeah, Barb, you are. If you're listening,
Barb,
in.
We love you, Barb.
What would we do without Nana B? Yeah, and she's laid a great foundation, and it's so lovely that you've been able to take up that mantle and carry that on, and, you know, and really advocate and help build awareness for that. So.
Well, my background had actually been, I'd been in the mission partnership team for a long time, and I felt it was time to step out of that so they could refresh and renew. I'd been there so long, and I said I'd join Catalyst, and little did I know that people had been praying I would join Catalyst.
Aww.
I was just joining because I thought, where can I transfer some of those skills? Mm. And I'd learned quite a lot there. People like, for example, Sarah Fox. She has some really inspiring, great ideas of how you can do mission and run projects and really projects that really impact people's lives for God.
Yeah. Amazing. If that's something you're interested in, definitely reach out to Sarah, or if you see Tracy around, she can also help out with that and put you in contact with the right people. Amazing.
Yes.
So... just thinking about your Christian walk, has there been a particular person that's really stood out to you and been someone that you've really learnt from and looked up to along the way?
I would have to say that When Glenn and I were young, there was an elder at our church who threw open his house, he and his wife, for a Bible study every Friday night, and we really grew in that. Also, the minister at our church at the time was just an amazing, humble man. And one thing that really impacted me was when I was about 19 and Glenn 20, we ended up leading this group, and we were no older than group and probably quite inexperienced, and he would often come and sit in. And I think it was just to give us that care and guidance as a young couple, we weren't married then, but we were dating, who had very little Christian background. And that had a real impact on me, that he was prepared to give up that hour before church every Sunday night to sit in with us. Yeah, I thought that was wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank God for those people in our lives, right? And they just know exactly what you need at the right time, absolutely, at the right place.
Yeah.
Anyone would think God had a plan and purpose, right?
Yes, but that mentoring and discipleship is just so important to young Christians, particularly to young leaders.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. Thinking through that, is there a space or a place that you're getting to do that? Obviously, you're doing Catalyst.
Yes. Well, Glenn and I are going to take up Jeremy's offer to help with crowd control on Friday night with the youth.
Oh, how fun.
Awesome.
I love youth. I only came out of youth group when I was in my late 40s. And I just heard the call that they really had too many young ones and not enough leaders, and thought we can be there as sort of crowd control and that intergenerational idea of, obviously we're quite a lot older, but we still know how to have fun with them. And we just hope we can just be that support for the youth leaders, really.
Yes.
Yeah. We can't take the role of a youth leader because we'll only be there every so often, but just that background support.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, fantastic. Well, that'd be great. And any of the youth listening in, keep an eye out for Tracy and Glenn.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so GBC has their core values, or our core values. So they're on purpose, big-hearted, whole-life learners, others-focused and trustworthy. Tracy, which one of these most resonates with you?
I would have to say others-focused. My real joy is praying for others when they're going through a difficult time. And I find it easy to have someone on my mind and pray for them multiple times a day when I know they really need it.
Yeah.
The other thing is I have a real passion for those who are suffering, poor, going through difficult times in their lives. And I've always had that passion, which is why I was on the mission team for such a long period of time, because I love to see how God can work in those lives. And I love being part of a team where, you know, you're changing thousands of lives and yet you're just God's conduit. You're just doing God's work. And they don't even know who you are. They're not saying, oh, that Tracy Nelson over at Gummy Baptist. They don't have a clue who you are. But they know that a church is helping them, and they know that God is helping them, and that's an absolute joy.
Yeah, and that's enough, right? That's enough that you can – it's good that you can be anonymous in a way, and that those people are like, as you said, someone's helping us. Obviously God is, but someone in the background, God's using that somebody, and it doesn't matter who it is, but they're getting helped. And that's it's so encouraging.
Yes.
I mean, Tracy, you've shared some amazing examples of where God's, you know, like you said, you've been a willing conduit. Has there been one particular moment in your life where you just knew God was doing something and it was just such a big change, whether you saw it at the time or it was something that you looked back on and you're like, wow, God? Is there something that comes to mind that you'd like to share?
I've had a few extraordinary, almost miraculous answers to prayer. For example, I wasn't expecting to take over the mission team. Someone left, very short notice. I was asked to take it over and I expressed my doubts that I had the finance knowledge to take on that. And the wonderful Laurie Green said, well, let's do it together. So I was officially the leader, but I will say we were co-coordinators on and off over long periods of time. Whenever someone left, Laurie and I would step in, and we had skills that complemented, in that I'm a good organizer, a communicator. He had all the financial knowledge and skills, and so we were able to do that. But when this came up, I had older parents, I still had older children at home, and I was working, so time was very short. And I prayed to God to give me some time. Now, one of the roles I had at work was to measure people's eyes for the lens for their cataract surgery and to do all the paperwork and the booking and the explanation. And I had a day a week to do that and a couple of other things. Well, suddenly we received no referrals for cataract surgery, and this went on all through May, all through June. Sunday, all the monies had to be in. The following Monday, I went to work and we were flooded with requests for people to have cataract surgery referrals.
Wow.
My boss had got to the stage of saying, maybe we should ring around and see why they're not referring to me anymore.
Is the system broken or is something not flowing through?
Other doctors used to call him the cataract guru. He was really, really good at his job, and he was getting concerned that no doctors and optometrists were referring to him. But the real thing that made it clear that this was God's work was Sunday we collected the last of the monies. Monday we were flooded with referrals.
Yeah.
And that was me seeing God give me the time, because I was having a day off here and there where I actually had time to do the work.
Oh. And see, that was the thing. God probably continued to honor that day because you kept doing the work that you needed to do for May Mission Month.
That's right.
So God's like, okay, well, if you're going to do the May Mission Month stuff in those days, then I'll keep giving you the days you need.
Yes.
I don't know. It just kind of works hand in hand, you know.
I was always very relieved when the church found a new leader.
Even after all those miracles.
Pass the baton on.
Yeah.
Yes, very. Well, there's people who have a lot better skill set, and it's quite a big ministry of our church, so it's good when someone with the real skill set is found, not someone with just part of the skill set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like Mark was sharing on Sunday, you know, about that notion of being headhunted versus, you know, if we were to apply for a role and, you know, we'd look at the criteria and we're like, well, I don't meet that, and I maybe don't quite have enough skill there or experience. But God obviously knew for you in that moment, for that purpose, he headhunted you, and he's like, Tracy, I'm going to utilize those skills that you've got and that experience you have and partner you up with somebody else, and you get to share it. And God knows, doesn't he? He always knows.
And the bizarre thing is, God will enable you to do things that actually aren't in your skill set when it's really required. We were in a church before we came here where everything fell apart and all the young youth leaders left. So the church leadership team looked around for the craziest of the old people, and that banner fell on Glenn and I. And we were there for a couple of years back in youth when we're late 40s, early 50s. Or going into 50, and it was amazing. And we had such a brilliant relationship with these young people. Now, when I came to the church here, I wasn't going to say, oh, we can do youth leadership, we're good at this, because we weren't. What it was there was a desperate need, so God blessed us in that ministry because it was really required at that point in time.
God, it was like I think Mark said the other week about the gifts, like he doesn't like to do those gift surveys because it makes people get all prideful and stuff. That, oh, I've got this gift, so I've got that gift. But God will give you a gift, any of the gifts, at certain times of your life when you need them, like what you said, like you needed – you needed the provision and the gift to lead youth. And so I was like, here you go. This is what I'm giving it to you and do what you had to do. So.
Amazing.
Praise God.
Tracy, you've shared some really incredible, incredible moments with God and how he's been working in and through you throughout your life. How right here, right now, how has that all shaped you and changed you to be who you are now, and what hope does that give you for the years to come?
So it's changed me into someone who genuinely cares about others, who really wants to pray for others and sees the value and worth of others. Even on a Sunday morning, I walk into church and I sit down and I pray for God's Spirit to be on everyone here, and that God will be touching the people who need to be touched that day. It's made me more aware of the fact that I am very ordinary with not too many gifts, and yet God can still use me in the things that I can do for his kingdom and to bless others. I'm really blessed in my family as well. Everyone at least has their heart open to God, even if not all are going to church. And I have a wonderful Christian husband, and that's just an amazing blessing because we both come from non-Christian households. So it wasn't always easy to learn to be a Christian family.
Because you're saying that you didn't have an example as your parents or his parents to go off.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. So how are you following Jesus at the moment in your journey?
Well, I get up and I do a quick, short Bible study.
Nice.
Because it's good to start the day with God. I used to think that it had to be a really long academic, learn something Bible study. But it doesn't have to be. It's just a matter of starting your day with God so your mind is on him. I use short little periods of time to send up short little prayers, and I just love doing that. For the first time in years and years and years, I'm not leading a Bible study group, and I'm going to one led by Gail Allen, and it's such a joy to sit and learn, and I'm getting to know new people as well, both in a new Bible study and also by going to playtime. So I'm getting a lot more connections with the Gummy Baptist community.
Yeah, awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah, we're very blessed here. There's lots of wonderful opportunities to serve, to connect, to have community, to have, you know, to be able to reach out to those around you for support, prayer and care. Really, really blessed to be part of the Gaimia Baptist community here. Tracy, thank you so much for joining us. Just hearing all the wonderful ways in which God has been working in you and through you right from a young age is just so encouraging. And I think you said it not too long ago, it's we are living ordinary lives in a way, just ordinary situations and scenarios, but we serve an extraordinary God who can make all things possible. And Tracy, thank you so much for sharing those extraordinary times in your life, how God's used you, grown you and shaped you, and he's got much more in store for you, I'm sure. So thank you for joining us, Tracy.
Thanks so much for coming on, and we'll see you around GBC.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the We Are the Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymere Baptist Church, please check out the Guymere Baptist Church website at guymerebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.